Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, I wanted to come at you with a quick one today. I know I've been talking a lot about what makes good podcast pitches and how to figure out what a good podcast pitch is and how to get yourself on podcasts. Sometimes people will pitch you, and there are a few red flags to watch out for. So there's a couple of reasons why they are red flags. One is the biggest and worst offender, I think, is it's a thinly veiled excuse to get you on a sales call. So this has happened to me a couple of times where a podcast reached out. I got put into their CRM. We had the podcast interview, and then I said, and then they said, so what's with, you know, what are you doing with your book or whatever? And then they straight up pitched me on their book, or their book service, rather. They tried to sell me their service, and then they put me into a sales funnel. And then when I demanded to stop getting sold to, they deleted my episode. So just like real garbage, a real garbage thing, right? Another time, guy got me on his show, had me end with, so did you have fun today? Everything was good. And I'm like, yeah. And then he pitched me on his SEO services. And so I've now gotten, guarded about when someone reaches out to me. So I'll tell you how to handle it. But here are the red flags to look out for when someone tries to get you on their podcast. First of all, they repeat multiple times that there's no cost to coming on the podcast. Now, this is also like a garbage thing to do, right? Is like invite people on and then say that you charge. No. Like, that's not how this works. Podcasts are generally earned media. And just because John Lee Dumas does it on Entrepreneurs on Fire doesn't mean anybody can do it. I don't think he should do it either, but whatever. That, you know, he's obviously built a more successful business than me. I have scruples though. Like, I understand that I'm getting hopefully good content from my guests. And they are getting, they're also getting good content, but they're getting in front of a new audience. That is the symbiotic relationship between a host and a guest. And paying to be on a show, diminishes that trust, I think, right? You know, it's not like, as far as I know, it's not like Scarlett Johansson pays to go on The Tonight Show, right? They do what's called a press junket to promote the movie, right? So, you know, that's the first thing I think is also, this is a side rant, I guess, but also like there are podcasts that charge and then don't disclose that they are charging. And that's also like a garbage move. And I would if I paid to go on a podcast, I would disclose it immediately and multiple times and say like, oh yeah, you know, I paid to be here. because that's really important for me to know, for me to let the audience know. So anyway, they repeat multiple times, first red flag, they repeat multiple times that there's no cost to come on the podcast. Number two, the topic is super vague. Something like how you help people grow, right? The last one I got pitched, the impetus for this episode and the post I made on LinkedIn, is they said, we'd love for you to come on the show to talk about what the future looks like for Joe Casabona. And I said, like, who's your audience? What, like, why is this relevant? Like, why would your audience care about the future of Joe Casabona if they don't know who Joe Casabona is? So that's number two. Number three, getting back to who's your audience, is the show's target audience is you, but your clients would never listen. So, like, again, going back to this show, the show's target audience is coaches, consultants, and course creators. And so they were targeting coaches, consultants, and course creators so that they could get them on the podcast and then pitch them. And, you know, maybe you're thinking, Joe, that's not really generous thinking, right? That's not, sure, like, their target audience is you, but, like, you can provide insight, right? I mean, on the Streamline Solopreneur, my audience is solopreneur parents. I have solopreneur parents on the show. The guests I have are for my target audience. And yeah, you're absolutely right. But these last two red flags are the thing that really take the cake. The fourth red flag and the first cake taker, I guess, is they publish 3 to 5 interviews a day. Because that is a telltale sign. They are going for quality or for quantity over quality. And they are basically showing their hand that they take this many sales calls in a day. And there are multiple hosts, which is to say their sales team is all recording these interviews. And then once recording stops, they do the hard sell. So, like, each of these points to the fact that the value is all for the show and not for you. Thinly veiled sales call attempt. So now I did post this on LinkedIn and I said, like, what are a couple of other red flags? My friend Crystal Prophet, who is a content strategist, marketing expert, also in the podcast space, said when they say they've been publishing episodes for a long time and then you look up their show and nothing new has been posted on their show or social channels for months. Yep. Like, they're just not dedicated to it. My friend Jeff, also a podcast producer in the B2B space, said that they ask you to write the interview questions for them, right? That's a telltale sign that they're not looking to do any work for the show. And so all of these mean that they are just trying to get you into their funnel. And so how do you handle this? Well, you could ignore them. On the off chance that I would be missing an opportunity to go on a show, I will usually respond and I will ask some pointed questions, right? So I'll say, who is the, who's the target audience for the show? Why me? Right. And if they give a generic answer to why me, like, that's another red flag. And then I'll straight up say, are you going to try to sell me something at the end of this call? And they'll either say no, but most people are not that blatant of a liar. And they basically know they've been caught at this point. And they'll say something like, they'll say something to the effect of, if we believe that there's alignment and we can offer you true value throughout the course of our interview, we'll definitely let you know the kind of services we offer. And that's when I say, no, thank you. And the last person I did this to said, you should really listen to our show. And I said, I did. And what I found was the host is recording from it sounds like a bathroom, right? So it's obvious that the host, or one of the hosts, I should say, because there are multiple hosts, is recording from a bathroom. So it's clear that they don't care about the the quality of the show. Again, multiple hosts. And I said, you publish 5 episodes a day. That doesn't tell me that you're interested in good quality interviews. That tells me you're interested in getting people on the phone. And yeah, I mean, you know, they realized at that point, like I was not going to fall for this scheme. And I'll end with this, right? Because this has been a little more rambly than previous episodes, but I'll end with this. One of the other reasons that they do the whole many episodes per day is because in their pitch, they'll say, our podcast gets downloaded thousands of times per week. And so that's why you should be on the show. Downloads are not listens. And when you're publishing 5 episodes a day, their show launched less than a year. The show I'm thinking of launched less than a year ago, and they had 1,233 episodes. So it's not hard to get thousands of downloads per week. In fact, if every host in that company did downloads, they'd get close to that in a week, right? If they get one new subscriber, and I will bet you that they probably get you to subscribe to the show when they interview you. That is thousands of downloads, or it's 1,000 downloads per week. So that's 1,000 downloads in close to a day, depending on the app you're using. So, you know, this show is all about helping podcasters save time, and podcast guesting is a great opportunity to get in front of other people's audiences and possibly grow your show and build your network and build relationships. But those sort of things are a waste of time, because it's not about you. It's about them and what they can do for them. And they're just using you because they know that you wouldn't get on a sales call otherwise. And they're hoping that their charm, or the reciprocity principle, right, where it seems like they've done something nice for you, so now you're more willing to do something nice for them, will kick in. So it's best to just avoid those altogether. All right, that's it for this episode of the Streamline Podcaster. Let me know, have you been swindled, bamboozled, or nearly tricked into joining a sales call under the guise of going on a podcast? You can write in at streamlinedfeedback.com. That's streamlined with a D, feedback.com. Thanks so much for listening. And until next time, I hope you find some space in your week.